Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, October 9th, 2025, 3rd John.
All right, before we get started, first things first, right down here, this lady in this front down here, Susie Hatfield. Today is her birthday, 19 years old. Not. But she's been kissed, she said, millions of times. Happy birthday, Susie. Upland Bible Church is truly blessed to have a lady like Susie Hatfield as a member of the church. You are all blessed by association with the fact that she is here. Every one of you blessed. She is the best of the best. Happy birthday. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 3 John. 3 John. Only one chapter. In the first 8 verses, the Apostle John, by the way, Apostle John had to send this letter to a layman in the church. Because there's no pastor here in this local church at this time. John's going to suggest one by the name of Demetrius. But right now there's no pastor. And Gaius is just a member of the congregation. He's just a layman. He has no spiritual authority at all. But John had to send this letter to Gaius. Because if he sent it to the one who was in charge, Diotrephes, he would throw it out. He wouldn't let it be taught to the church. And therefore, the Apostle John had to write it to just a layman in the church by the name of Gaius. And very likely that when the Apostle John shows up and gets Diotrephes up and braces him in front of the whole congregation. He's just going to nail Diotrephes and then kick him out. He'll probably appoint Gaius as the chairman of the board and take the place. And he will suggest, I think you ought to elect Demetrius as the pastor of this local church. But anyway, that's all coming up. We only got one chapter. Well, we got a lot going on here. 8 verses describing the best of the best. And then 3 verses describing the worst of the worst. And that's Diotrephes. So, tonight we're going to finish the best of the best and at least get started on old Diotrephes. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We have our update on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special lesson on Wednesday, October 8th, went very well with our regular group of seven ladies. Now, that's important. Seven. That's the number of perfection. You have the right number, seven. If you'd have had six, that wouldn't have been good. If you have 666, that's really bad. Regular group of seven ladies. Some of the ladies often sing along to some of the gospel songs before the lesson. So this week, everyone received a song sheet with the lyrics to Blessed Assurance. And Alan Jackson was our song leader, as all seven ladies made a joyful noise to the Lord. Well, they haven't heard noise till they've heard this church singing. Pastor Olson taught the second half of Lesson 21 with Ephesians 5:21-33 as his primary text, comparing the divine institution of marriage between a man and a woman with the marriage of Christ and the church. And the pastor taught that wives should submit to their husbands in everything, and husbands are to love their wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. That means you love your wife with virtue love. Virtue love. He emphasized that the love referred to in this context and the key to a successful marriage is virtue love. For no marriage can succeed with only personal love or romance. To God be the glory as he continues to bless positive believers at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. All right. 3 John. Let's start with our exegesis from verse 5. We've exegeted verses 5 and 6. Sounds like this. Beloved, you being Gaius, you are habitually acting faithfully, reliably, in whatever you have accomplished for the brethren, fellow members of the royal family. And especially when those brethren are strangers, i.e. missionaries. Verse 6, who, the brethren and strangers of verse 5, who have testified about your virtue love, specifically Gaius' impersonal love for all, before the church, they came to Ephesus, they came to the Apostle John's local church, and they proclaimed this in John's local church. You will continue to do honorably when you help them on their way in a manner worthy of God. And Gaius certainly did. When these brethren and strangers came to the Apostle John's church in Ephesus, they testified of Gaius' great virtue love. They testified of Gaius' great impersonal love for all of them. And this simply says that Gaius has the uniform of honor on in his soul. That uniform of honor is described in Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's elected ones, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself, put on the uniform of honor. That uniform of honor is invisible, and it goes on in your soul, in your heart. Clothe yourself. Put on that invisible uniform of honor in your heart. And what is that uniform of honor? What is it made up of? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. That's impossible unless you have impersonal love for all mankind. It's only when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father motivates you to have impersonal love for all mankind. And that's, when you have that, then you forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. You forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on virtue love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Well, this is the uniform of honor that Gaius has in his soul. And because of that invisible uniform of honor in his soul, he operates by the royal family honor code toward these strangers that come, missionaries, evangelists, pastors, that come through. He had the same fantastic virtue love that he manifested to all of them in a very gracious and generous way. So Colossians 3, 12 to 14, the brethren and strangers especially have borne witness of Gaius' great impersonal love for all. The fact that Gaius has that great royal family honor code function toward all of them. And therefore, Gaius gave graciously and generously to these believers. They were strangers. They were missionaries coming through, evangelists, pastors. He gave graciously and generously to them. Gaius helped them with food and clothing and hospitality and money. This was a part of his gracious generosity and royal family honor code function. In verse 6, the key word there is propempo. And propempo means to help someone on their way. And here, the ones that he is helping on their way are the believers and strangers of verse 5. And specifically, it means to help with food, clothing, hospitality, and money. Gaius has been doing this for a long, long time. Gaius has the uniform of honor in his soul, and therefore he lives by the royal family honor code. Just like the believers in Macedonia, Gaius graciously and generously operates with grace giving to others. Gaius propempos. And how does he propempo? Oxios. In a manner worthy of God. So he propempos oxios. In a manner worthy of God. Generosity and hospitality is compatible with the Royal Family Honor Code. And it's motivated by the filling of the Holy Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. And then verse 7, which we have also exegeted, sounds like this. For on behalf of the name, all it says is onomoth, on behalf of the name, and the name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have just onoma, it means the person of Christ, who and what Christ is, the essence of Jesus Christ, the attributes of Jesus Christ. For on behalf of the name, the person, the essence, the attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ, they went out as missionaries, accepting nothing from unbelievers. And the principle here is that the Lord's work must be supported by the Lord's people. Giving to a local church, or to other spiritual causes, to missions or missionaries, must never be an issue for the unbeliever. There is only one issue for the unbeliever, and that is, what think ye of Christ? Not, how much money can you give me? Local churches and missionaries must never be supported by unbelievers' money. Missionaries, just like pastors and evangelists, should be supported through the spiritual sacrifices of grace giving from the royal priesthood of the royal family of God. The only issue the unbeliever must face is, what think ye of Christ? And the only issue that the believer must face is, what think ye of Bible doctrine? Therefore, Christ is the issue in salvation, not money. And Bible doctrine is the issue after salvation, not money. Grace giving is a mental attitude. What's going on in here in your heart? Now that brings us to the last verse of the best of the best. Verse 8. And in verse 8 we have the support of missionaries. And verse 8 starts out in the King James, we therefore ought to receive such. This is the postpositive conjunction un plus the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the present active indicative of ophelo, very important word, plus the present active infinitive of hupolambano, plus the accusative plural of a very unique and special word, toyutas, with the definite article. Well, we start out with the postpositive conjunction un. Did you get a picture of this, Susie? Did you get a picture of that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right. If not, why? What are you laughing at? Now that's really sad. He's laughing at, he doesn't even know what he's laughing at. There you go. O-U-N, un. The postpositive conjunction un, this is an inferential use of un, denoting that what it introduces is the result of or an inference from what precedes, such as verse 7. That is, they went out as missionaries, accepting nothing from unbelievers. And therefore, un is maybe correctly translated. So, consequently, accordingly, then, therefore, we'll translate it therefore. Therefore, and then the nominal plural of the personal pronoun ego, and that's we as believers. Therefore, we as believers. And now, this is for all of us. This is for all of you sitting out there. We as believers, ophelo. O-P-H-E-I-L-O. Ophelo. Couple of things. This is a key word. This is a key word for your spiritual life and what God's plan is for you in that spiritual life. One, literally, ophelo referred to financial debts. It meant to you owed something to someone. That's literally. You owed something to someone. Two, figuratively, ophelo means to owe, to be indebted to someone for something. To be indebted to someone for something. And therefore, point three, it means to be obligated. You have an obligation to be obligated. With the infinitive following, as in our verse, it means one must or one ought to do something. One is obligated to do something. In our verse, one is obligated or ought to hupolumbano such missionaries. Hupolumbano. H-U-P-O-L-A-M-B-A-N long O. Hupolumbano. So in our verse, one is obligated to hupolumbano such missionaries. One ought to hupolumbano such missionaries. All right, one. Hupolumbano means, first of all, to receive them as a guest. To receive them as a guest. And secondly, to support them. To receive them as a guest and to support them. Two, in our verse, to receive, and then we have the special word, the accusative plural of toyutas. Looks like that, T-O-I-O-U-T-O-S, toyutas. So in our verse, to receive toyutas as a guest, to support toyutas. Now, what does that mean? Well, as an adjective, it means such a kind or such as this. But when you have the article in front of toyutas, like we have in our verse, now the adjective is no longer an adjective. Now it's substantival. Now it functions as a noun. And it's correctly translated, such ones, or such persons as these missionaries. So, corrected translation. Therefore, we as believers ought to support, we're obligated to support, such persons as these missionaries. And then we have the purpose. Why? What's the purpose for that? That we might be fellow helpers to the truth. You see, Some of you have never caught a hold of this. You're part of the royal family of God. You're on a team! You're on a team! You wouldn't know that some of you are on a team, but you're on a team! And that means teamwork! And we all are on the team. We all have spiritual gifts, and those spiritual gifts function as a part of the team. And that's what we have here. Therefore, we as believers are obligated. We ought to support such persons as these missionaries that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Hina plus the present middle subjunctive of genomai plus the plural of sunergos plus the dative singular of, here's our old friend, aletheia with the definite article. Hina plus the subjunctive, well, we've had that many times, you can probably tell me, introduces a purpose clause. In order that, for the purpose that, and then we have genomai. Oop, I'm putting English up first. Let's get the Greek first. Genomai. G-I-N-O-M-A-I, genomai. All right, literally, point one, genomai means to come to be or to become. To come to be or to become, that's literally. Point two, genomai indicates entering into a new condition, to become something that you were not before. That's the idea of genomai, entering a new condition. Three, what are we becoming? To become sunergoi. S-U-N-E-R-G-O-I. Sunergoi. And sunergoi means helpers. It means co-workers. It means fellow workers. Helpers, co-workers, fellow workers. This is the teamwork function of the royal family of God. Four, for the purpose that we might become fellow workers for aletheia, the absolute truth. And we've had aletheia all throughout our study in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, it's absolute truth. The Lord Jesus Christ declared that He is aletheia. John 14, 6, I am the way and the aletheia. I am the way and the absolute truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. Jesus Christ said, He is aletheia. And then in the prayer, maybe the greatest prayer of Jesus Christ to God the Father, John 17, 17. Father, sanctify them in by means of aletheia, absolute truth. And then he said, your word is aletheia. The word of God is absolute truth. So God is absolute truth. The word of God is absolute truth. The word of God is aletheia in three categories. The laws of divine establishment, establishment truth, the grace gospel, gospel truth, and doctrinal truth. Therefore, we as believers, we are obligated. We ought to support such persons as these missionaries for the purpose that we might become fellow workers, part of the team and teamwork function, fellow workers for aletheia, the absolute truth. All right, so now verses 7 and 8. For on behalf of the name, the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of Christ, who and what Christ is, His essence, His attributes. For on behalf of the name, the Lord Jesus Christ, they went out as missionaries accepting nothing from unbelievers. Therefore, since they didn't take a penny from unbelievers, we, as believers, we are obligated. We ought to support such persons as these missionaries for the purpose that we might become fellow workers for the absolute truth, the Word of God. All right, one. For the unbeliever, the issue is, what think ye of Christ? For the unbeliever, the issue is, what think ye of Christ? The unbeliever must never be confused by the false issue of giving money. Two, it is the responsibility of the believer as royal family of God to support the spiritual gifts of communication. It is the responsibility, the obligation of the believer as royal family of God to support the spiritual gifts of communication. The gift of pastor-teacher, the gift of evangelist, the gift of missionary activity. Now you say, well, wait a second. Didn't Paul work for money, make tents? Very good. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, it is true that the Apostle Paul made tents on several occasions. He made tents to earn money for his livelihood. But this was only because the local believers were making a false issue out of money, and they had no understanding of grace giving at all, i.e., the believers in Corinth. Therefore, for a short time, he was independent of their giving. In fact, the Apostle Paul absolutely refused to take one penny from the believers in Corinth. Not one red cent. There you go. He didn't. Wasn't going to. They didn't know what grace giving was. He was supported throughout the Roman Empire by the Macedonian believers who were spiritually mature, and they were destitute. They were under tremendous persecution. They didn't have a lot by way of money, but they gave sacrificially because they understood the importance of sound doctrinal teaching. They loved the Apostle Paul, and they loved all of the doctrine he taught. And they sacrificially, they gave money. They supported Paul all over the Roman Empire. The Corinthians were loaded with money, and Paul wouldn't take one cent because, well, he has to teach two chapters. Nowhere else in the Bible does a communicator have to teach two chapters on grace giving because they don't understand it at all. But he had to do it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, and we're just getting warmed up in those two chapters. We've got a lot there. And I've had some good questions. Some are, even tonight, young man said, Pastor Olson, did you say Titus and Luke were brothers? Yes. Where is that? Keep coming on Wednesday night. We'll cover that Wednesday night. See, that way, maybe you'll show up every Wednesday night. See? All right, point three. In supporting the spiritual gifts of communication, such as pastor, teacher, evangelist, missionary activity, the major issue is time. The major issue is time. You see, what do you mean by that? Well, thank you. I thank you for asking. Point four. The function of the spiritual gifts of communication demands full time. Full time to be devoted to the exercise of that gift. The function of the spiritual gifts of communication demand full time to be devoted to the exercise of that gift. Five, therefore, to be effective, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries must have maximum time to devote to preparation and the presentation of aletheia, absolute truth of the Word of God. Therefore, to be effective, pastors, evangelists, missionaries must have maximum time to devote to preparation and the presentation of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Six, preparation and presentation demand both time and energy. Preparation and presentation demand both time and energy, so that the missionary or the pastor or the evangelist, who must also work on the side for a living, has been terribly handicapped in the use of his spiritual gift. Preparation and presentation demand both time and energy, so that the missionary or pastor or evangelist who must work for a living on the side has been terribly handicapped in the use of his spiritual gift. Now, that can be done. Working and teaching can be done. And I did that here when I first came here. But when I first came here, I did not take 1 cent. I worked for nothing. I came here and worked for nothing. For several years, I worked for absolutely nothing. You see, this church, they didn't tell me when they called me. They called me and wanted me to come and be pastor. And when I came here, all of a sudden, here were all these bills. The bank wouldn't even have anything to do with Upland Bible Church. We had all these debts that hadn't paid bills. And I said, was there a time when you were going to tell me about this, you know? Yeah, after we said, you're the one. I said, well, thank you. I said, okay, here we go. I will not take one penny. I'll work for nothing. Whatever comes in by way of offering will pay the bills. Everything will go to pay the bills. I don't want 1 cent. You pay the bills. And besides, I just came here and I established my authority through the teaching of the grace and truth of the Word of God. So I will establish my authority and I will study and teach and study and teach and study and teach and study and teach. But for the first several years, I worked for nothing. Now, how did we get along? How did Deb and I get along? Well, I put her to work. She is a teacher, and she was teaching up in the state of Washington, and She got a job teaching at a junior high school, and it was within blocks of where we were living. So she walked to school and taught, and she supported me. My wife supported me while I was here at Upland Bible Church. And that went on for quite some time. And that was fine. It was fine. We finally got all the bills paid off. And after all the bills were paid off, I said, okay, now that you've paid off everything, you keep paying the bills. You keep paying the bills. That's it. And if there's a little left over, that's fine. You can give it to me for a salary. So some weeks I get, or every 2 weeks I get $50. That would be my salary. And then it went maybe a couple more weeks or months, I get $100 of my salary, and so on. And that went on for quite some time. That was fine. That was fine. But I kept studying and teaching and studying and teaching and establishing my authority through the teaching of the grace and the truth of the Word of God. So, working and teaching can be done, and under certain circumstances where money is a false issue, it occurs. But it defeats the purpose of the spiritual gift. 7, the purpose of the spiritual gift of communication is study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. That's the purpose of the spiritual gift of communication. Study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. 8, also, the truth, aletheia, must always be free. No price tag must ever be put on truth. The truth, aletheia, must always be free. No price tag must ever be put on truth. 9. The truth of the Word of God must be presented free of charge. Now we have MP3 discs that go out. When we get about 50 lessons, well, we send the MP3 discs. They're going out all over. There's no charge for those MP3 discs. They're free to people who want them. And we have people getting them from all over America, MP3 discs. There's no charge. They're free of charge. We have email classes that are totally free of charge. We have gospel booklets. Those gospel booklets have gone everywhere. Africa, Philippines, South America, all over America, and there's no price. They are free. Don't you ever sell any of them. They are totally 100% free. And we have given, every time we have them printed, we have 10,000 printed at a time in English. And then several thousand in Spanish and several thousand in Tagalog. And they're all free. And since the time we've been doing this, hundreds and hundreds of thousands have gone out free to anybody who would like them. We get people all the time asking for some of those purple books, little purple gospel books. And we send them to them all the time. But they're free. They will never, ever, don't ever sell any of them. They're totally free. Money is not the issue. It's the teaching of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. That is the issue. Not making money. That is not the issue. If the Lord wants to shut down Upland Bible Church, he can do that tomorrow. And when that happens, I'll just put Ichabod, glory departed, big sign, and then I'm out of here. There you go. And there will be somewhat a group somewhere that want Bible doctrine and want Aletheia taught. I'll either go there, and if not, well then, I'm going fishing. There you go. Oh, like fishers of men, you know. 10. People must never be solicited or encouraged to give on the basis of some emotional appeal. The only emotional appeal you get from me is, hang on to your money! You're not here to give, you're here to learn the Word of God. That's what you're here for. You learn the Word. You're not here to give. Learn the Word, learn the Word, learn the Word. Grow up in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you ever do that and ever attain maturity, well then, God will motivate you through the filling of the Spirit and the Word of God in your heart. God will take care of that. But you're not here. I don't want your money. If you don't have any idea what grace giving is, then hang on to it. Hang on to it. Boy, you know, don't let that baby open up. Don't open up your purse. You guys, I hope you don't have a purse, but don't open up your billfold. Hang on to those things. That's the only emotional appeal I get is hang on to it, not to please, please give. Eleven, the royal family of God must be motivated for grace giving. Hey, God likes this class tonight. You know how I know God loves this class tonight? Rain. That's God's way of saying amen. God says amen. I believe everything Pastor Olson's saying. Amen. Rain is the blessing in the desert. This is the blessing. 12. The royal family of God must be motivated for grace giving. And that motivation has to come from the filling of the Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. It has to be the result of virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all, and occupation with Christ. 12. Gaius has been faithful, supporting missionaries, evangelists, and pastors with grace giving as a part of his royal family honor code function. Gaius has been faithful, supporting missionaries, evangelists, and pastors with grace giving as a part of his royal family honor code function. 13. Gaius is a monument to the winner believer. A monument to the winner believer that, one, he has lived the spiritual life. Two, he has grown up in grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Three, that he has put on the uniform of honor. Four, who supports the communication of truth. 5, who has given graciously and generously to missionaries, evangelists, and pastors. And 6, who has glorified the Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. A monument to the winner believer. That's Gaius. 14, such support includes more than money. It includes prayer, great hospitality, and virtue love. And Gaius has manifested all of these things to these missionaries, evangelists, and pastors. Okay, that takes care of the best of the best, Gaius, verses 1 through 8. So this is the last time we're going to be through here, so let's take a look at verses 1 through 8 one more time. The old man, that doesn't mean he's old, it means he's the commander, the presbyteros, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love with virtue love in the sphere of aletheia, absolute truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may succeed and prosper in everything and be in good health, just as your soul is succeeding and prospering. He's a winner believer. Gaius has the entire greater grace blessing package. Verse 3. For I was exceedingly happy when fellow believers, royal family, came and bore witness to your aletheia, absolute truth. Namely, how you, Gaius, keep on walking, keep on living your life in aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. I absolutely have no greater happiness than these things. That is, to keep on hearing that my students are walking, living the spiritual life in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Beloved, you, Gaius, are habitually acting faithfully and reliably in whatever you have accomplished for the brethren, fellow members of the royal family, and especially when they are strangers like missionaries and evangelists and other pastors, who, the brethren and strangers of verse 5, who have testified about your virtue love, specifically your impersonal love for all of them, before the church, that is John's local church in Ephesus, you will continue to do honorably when you help them on their way. How? In a manner worthy of God. For on behalf of the name, the Lord Jesus Christ, His person, His essence, His attributes, they went out as missionaries, accepting nothing from unbelievers. Therefore, we as believers are obligated. We ought to support such persons as these missionaries for the purpose that we might become fellow workers for the absolute truth. All right. There's the best of the best. This was, and the Apostle John had to send this, third John, he had to send this to Gaius. If he sent it to the spiritual leader in the church, Diotrephes, it would have been thrown out. So now we switch from the best of the best to the worst of the worst. Verses 9 through 11, only three verses. It gets real tough when you just talk about how horrible someone is. And what really characterizes this? I hope that you've learned enough doctrine here to realize that the worst sins you can ever get involved in are sins of the tongue. Absolute worst. Diotrephes, he slandered, maligned, judged the Apostle John in front of the whole congregation. He slandered John, judged him, maligned him. In fact, it's even used the word with evil words. That's the worst thing that can ever happen to you. In fact, I wouldn't have been surprised if Diotrephes had died the sin unto death before John ever got there. John may not have had a chance to throw him out of the church. He might have just been able to have a memorial service afterwards when he got there. But this guy was the worst of the worst. So now in verses 9 through 11, we have the indictment of Diotrephes. The indictment of Diotrephes. In verse 9, we have his extreme arrogance and rejection of spiritual authority. In verse 9, his extreme arrogance and his rejection of spiritual authority. All right, he starts out pretty simple. I wrote unto the church. This is the aorist active indicative of a grapho, plus the neuter of the indefinite pronoun tis, plus the dative singular of ekklesia with a definite article. And grapho, well, you know what that word means. G-R-A-P-H, long O, grapho. And this is hooked up with, yes, the Apostle John's the human author of 3 John, but this is the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And that's very, very powerful. So, one, grapho means literally to write, and you're writing to someone. Two, the Apostle John is writing these epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, combined with the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Three, John has written the absolute truth, categorical doctrine, to the congregation where winner believer Gaius is a member. John has written the absolute truth, 3 John, categorical doctrine, to the congregation where winner believer Gaius is a member. Four, the problem is that Gaius is just a layman. He's just a member of the congregation. He has no spiritual authority. He is not the chairman of the board. He's just a member of the congregation, a layman. But that's who John has to write to. Five, John had to write this epistle to Gaius. But at this point in time, Gaius has no spiritual authority. John had to write this epistle to Gaius, but at this point in time, Gaius has no spiritual authority. Sixth, Diotrephes has the spiritual authority. He's the chairman of the board. He's running the show. There's no pastor in this church at this time. And if Diotrephes has his way, there'll never be one. Unless he agrees totally with Diotrephes. Diotrephes has the spiritual authority. He's the chairman of the board. Seven. But Diotrephes has refused to permit the teaching of John's letters to the congregation. But Diotrephes has totally refused to permit the teaching of John's letters to the congregation. And there lies the rub. And then we have ekklesia. E-K-K-L-long-E-S-I-A. Ekklesia. And ecclesia is the word literally church, but here it refers to the local church. This is the local church where winner believer Gaius is a member of the congregation. He's just a layman. And this is where loser believer Diotrephes is the chairman of the board. It's this local church. The dative case of ecclesia is the dative of indirect object. The indirect object is the ones in whose interests and benefits something is given. This letter was written by the Apostle John for the interest and spiritual benefit of this local church. But Diotrephes refused to allow it to be taught. That's why it was sent to Gaius. So corrected translation. I have written something, 3 John, to the church, the local church. But, Diotrephes, who loveth, this is the King James, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. This is really very powerful. And we'll start here next time with Diotrephes and this guy. Is he brilliant? He is brilliant. He has a very high human IQ. He has a great personality. The people like his personality. But he is the worst of the worst. And we're going, and the Apostle John, three verses, he never in the Word of God do you see somebody in three verses nailed like this guy. So we'll pick it up at verse 9 next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And by the way, Bob Wilkin will be here Sunday. Bob Wilkin, Rapid Robert, and I got about 12 other names to describe to him. Rapid Robert will be here Sunday, and he's in charge Sunday of the classes, so it'll be great. First of all, he has to compete in the Old Farts Olympics, and we'll see how many gold medals he's won, and then we'll have him teach.